Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Chrissy Gonzalez. And you're talking about yoga, and of course, you're my mentor. Although a couple of things you told me, you were shooting for me to run the 5K in, what was it, in 25 minutes, and you told me how to do it. I'm not going to be able to make that.
I think but, you can.
But yoga, what is, you know, for the precept people listening, is, you know, what is the, is there a book? Is there a DVD? Is there something there, that you recommend?
You can download from the internet, you know, you can buy DVDs and do them in the house. You can do your regular yoga, which is what people know, the flow, the vinyasa, and that gives you strength. I find that yoga has given me a lot of strength, believe it or not, even though I do all these exercises. But what I was talking about with the yin, which is just Y-I-N, and you hold the pose, what it does, it's the same pose as you would do in yoga. But sometimes they even have different names, but it's the same pose. But the difference is that you will hold the pose anywhere between 2 to 5 to up to 10 minutes.
Wow.
And what that, yes, wow. And the first 90 seconds you want to scream. But what they discovered is that it targets, it goes beyond the muscle. You're holding the pose, like for those who know a little bit about yoga, let's just say the pigeon pose, which is one of the best for the hips. You get on the pigeon pose, and instead of doing it for 10 seconds like in a flow of yoga, you get on the pigeon pose for 5 minutes or 4 minutes, and you stay on the pigeon pose. Believe me, that right or left hip is going to release. Mm-hmm. It's going to target the ligaments and the joints, and you're going to feel the release, and it's going to make it stronger, because what happens to us is that we sit around too long, and we don't stretch enough. Because stretching is boring and it takes time. But if you don't stretch, that muscle keeps tightening up. And that's why we end up limping and we end up with issues when we age that are irreversible. With yin, they've discovered that they can turn back the clock and target those ligaments and joints that are the ones that are surrounding that muscle to make it healthy again.
Is there a particular book?
There's a book that I've read. It's called Guide to Yin Yoga. And it shows poses that you can get into, and it shows you all the stuff. I mean, it would be great if you could have a teacher or classes, but that's fairly new. And even in good areas with a lot of yoga, they offer one yin class a week. And that's not enough for me, so I bought the book. And, you know, I do yin. I was doing yin almost every day. You know, I felt so strong in Kona. You know, this Kona, I've done, like I said, 7 Ironmans. And in Kona, which is the hardest race, and it was a very tough race. It was a very windy day. It was a very tough swim because, you know, I was getting hit and kicked and bounced around for 2.5 miles. And yet when I was doing the marathon and I had 8 miles to go, I was fresh as a cucumber. I felt strong. I felt I wanted to run. And to me, that was the biggest reward. And it's not about time. It's not about performance. It's how you take your body to that level that you can do well, not well placing, but well as your body. That your body is so happy to be doing those 8 miles at the end of a 12-hour day. And to me, that is the most amazing thing. And it's the negotiation you go through, you know, in a triathlon, because, you know, you come out of the water and you're hyperventilating. You can't even breathe. I tell people my first advice when you start doing triathlons, they're very worried about the whole thing. And I say to them, if you come out of the water and you find your bike, you're good to go. Because you come out so, you know, it's just so intense that you can't even find your bike. So negotiating your body through the whole process, the nutrition on the bike is crucial because you can't really eat on the run, and definitely you cannot run on the eat on the swim. So you're negotiating the whole day or the whole event, and that's what I find fascinating. You have to sometimes, like this year in Kona, it was very windy, you know, and I had headwinds that were holding me back, and I had two choices right there, right then. I either fought the wind and went hard and possibly kill my legs and for a better bike split, or I did my nutrition correctly, went with the flow, take it down a little bit and just do it 1 mile at a time and yet have a good marathon. And I chose the latter. I wanted to have my last Kona, which was the last Kona I was planning to do. I wanted to have a strong run. And I chose to, and that's part of it. You know, people say, oh man, did you see the bike split? And I go, yeah, but what happened in the run? It's a three sport. It's a three discipline sport. So you gotta negotiate, and that's what I find fascinating. You gotta give a little here, tweak a little there, and that's what makes it interesting.
And Kona, how many competitors?
In Kona, there were 1,900. Because for Kona, you need to qualify. In my age group, I need to win an Ironman to go to Kona.
Within that year.
So when I get to Kona, the 65
and there's
women.
No, the fact that you came in seventh this year, you're gonna go next year.
I have to win another Ironman.
The only way you qualify is if you had won Kona. That even if you win Kona, you can't.
No, if you win Kona, that's the only you get to go back. Okay. Only the first place gets
first
to go
place.
Back.
Yeah.
Wow. But and that's in the pros as well. The pros have to qualify. The pros have to qualify winning
sport.
An Ironman as well. And so imagine doing two Ironmans in a year is extremely taxing on the body.
There's a lottery, which is about, you know, a number of people buy the lottery system. You're telling me
they have a lottery. They have a lottery where they have a fundraiser and they raise $2 million, $50 per person. You enter a lottery for I don't know if there's 10 or 20 people they pull out of the hat, and that's about who. But that's a good cause. And then they started a new legacy. It's called a legacy program, where if you do 12 Ironmans in a lifetime, you will be guaranteed to have an invitation to Kona at some point. But you have to finish 12 Ironmans. So
just finish, not
just finish.
Not,
you don't have to place. Just they've recognized that it's extremely difficult for an average person to these days. It's just it's become so difficult and it is so expensive to do an Ironman, and much less two of them in 1 year. I mean, it's just we're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars, and so it's a very, very expensive sport in that sense, and very taxing on the body, because nobody does anything for you. You're out there, 12 hours. Some people it takes them 15. The average of an average person that is doing an Ironman, it's about 15 hours. Of nonstop exercising. So.
And what was your time this
year? This time in Kona, it was 11:55. But so people have an idea how difficult it was, I've done 11:07. I've done 11:23. So Kona, it was my fastest Kona. I've improved by almost 50 minutes from the first Kona to the last.
50.
50. 50. 50. Wow. Yeah, I've improved in 5 years, I've improved my time 50 minutes. But I can do an Ironman in 11 hours on any given day, Healy or not. But, but again, like I said, I don't pay attention to times because every race is different. Every condition on that day of that race is different. And you wake up different every day. So, Sometimes you're winning a race, and let's just take Florida, for example. Last year, I was doing the full Ironman in Florida to qualify for Kona, and I'm winning the race, and I'm running with a teammate. We're doing the marathon together, and she's telling me, if we go a little faster, we break the 11 hours. That sounds really tempting. I'm not looking at the time. I have no clue what she's talking about. I know I'm winning the race. And my job was to win the race so I could qualify for Kona. And I looked at her and I said, listen, I am 54 years old. I'm winning the race. I've got my Kona slot. If I mess with this, if I try to go a little faster, I can bunk, I can cramp, and I lose it all.
What does bunk mean? You've used that bunking, word a couple
bunking,
of times.
Bunking is a term that runners use and everybody uses. This is when you hit the wall.
Yeah.
It's your legs go no more. And you know what, to be honest, there's different grades. I didn't know what bunking meant because I felt I've never bunked, but there are different ways of bunking. One is cramping, one is GI issues, Another is nausea and throwing up. It's when your body starts shutting down, because right. what happened is your body will protect your brain.
Yeah, you went too far. Yeah, you taxed it too far. And
so
it's just...
so you're the first thing that your body cuts off are your legs. So that's why people cramp. Now that's the first thing the body says, we don't the legs are not needed. So they cut the blood supply. And then the second thing they're going to cut is the digestive system, because we don't need the digestive system to survive. So they cut the digestive system. And so to protect the brain and the heart. So bunking means the body shutting down areas, and you're either cramping or diarrhea, and then nausea,
yeah.
and then they take you away on a stretcher to the hospital, and they, you know, and it happens a lot. Yeah. So you don't want to cross that line, and that's where the negotiation is very interesting.
Okay, well, let's take a break. I'm with Chrissy Gonzalez. We'll be right back.